Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the glory of God in human flesh, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith on this Transfiguration Sunday are Peter's words from his second letter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. Peter, of course, was an eyewitness to the Transfiguration, and he mentions it here in this text. To be sure, we were not following cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the powerful appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to Him from within the majestic glory, saying, "This is My Son whom I love, with Him I am well pleased." We heard this voice, which came out of heaven, when we were with Him on the holy mountain. We also have the completely reliable prophetic word. You do well to pay attention to it as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Since we know this above all else, no prophecy of Scripture comes about from someone's own interpretation. In fact, no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were being carried along by the Holy Spirit. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You had to be there. Ever said that before? Ever heard it said before? There are a number of times and situations where you would say an expression like that. Maybe you would use that line after trying to explain a particularly funny incident or a particularly amazing occurrence, but you realize you're just not doing it justice. People aren't laughing like you thought they would, or they're not standing in amazement like you thought they would after you told the joke or tell the story, and you say, well, I guess you had to be there. Or maybe that phrase could be said by the people from the Bay Area who have shelled out thousands of dollars for even nosebleed tickets today to see their beloved 49ers in person at the Super Bowl. I heard someone say that they know people who got $5,000 tickets and they were just way up in the upper deck. When it's all said and done, and if their team wins, of course, maybe when you ask those people, they would say, oh, it was all worth it. What an experience. You had to be there. I'll take their word for it. Well, how about the incredible event that we hear Peter speak about in our text? Jesus' transfiguration. Did you picture it as we read about it in the gospel reading from the Gospel of Matthew? Jesus' face shining like the sun. His clothes became as white as light. On top of that, Moses and Elijah appear with Jesus. And then to top it all off, there's a cloud that covers them, a bright cloud covers them, and God the Father's voice Himself comes out from the cloud, "This is My Son whom I love. With Him I am well pleased. Listen to Him." Peter, along with James and John, were, in his words, eyewitnesses of His majesty. And they heard for themselves God the Father's voice from that majestic glory, that majestic cloud on the mountaintop that day. You'd think that this faith-strengthening mountaintop experience would definitely be one of those events where Peter would just have to say to us, you had to be there. Incredibly, though, he doesn't really say that. Yes, he does give an eyewitness testimony of the Transfiguration. He does so in verses 16 through 18, the first three verses of our text. But I want to direct your attention again to verse 19 of our text and listen to what Peter says. He says, we also have the completely reliable prophetic word. Now, I draw your attention to that verse because most translations don't bring this out very well, but that word in the Greek, the verb used there, is a comparative. So what Peter is actually saying, if you do translate that verse literally, it says, we also have the prophetic word more certain. That's an incredible statement. Again, because Peter is an eyewitness, and he says, we have the prophetic word more certain. What he's telling us as an eyewitness is that we have something even more certain than an eyewitness account, more certain than actually being there. Let that sink in for a moment. He's saying you have something more certain than actually being there. That more certain witness is, of course, the Word of God. As Peter says in the first verse of our text, God's Word is not, as some claim, a collection of cunningly devised fables. It is the eyewitness testimony, made more certain because it's written by men who were inspired by God Himself. Yes, they were eyewitnesses, but they were inspired eyewitnesses. Peter goes on to say this in verses 20 and 21. He says, "Since we know this above all else, no prophecy of Scripture comes about from someone's own interpretation. In fact, no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." God's Word is the greatest witness. It is the eternal, unchanging truth. It is the complete revelation of God. It is absolutely dependable. We can stake our lives on it. In fact, we can stake our very souls on it. People can make claims. People can dream dreams. They can conjure up visions and prophecies and have their own quote-unquote revelations. But people can also lie. People can deceive. And people can be deceived. We know Satan can lie. Not just can lie. He does lie. And he does deceive. But God's Word will never lie. So any prophecy, revelation, or testimony that contradicts God's Word, that goes beyond God's Word or casts doubt on God's Word, is not from God. As Peter says in our text, no prophecy of Scripture comes about from someone's own interpretation. In fact, no prophecy ever came by the will of man. He's speaking there of true prophecy. No true prophecy ever came from man. It comes from God. And it's found in His Word. That is the rock-solid foundation, the ultimate eyewitness of all that God has done for your salvation and mine. That's why Peter says of this Word of God, he says in verse 19, "You do well to pay attention to it, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." When God gave us this message of salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ, He did not give us a collection of cunningly devised fables that were written hundreds of years after Jesus lived. No, He gave us thousands of years of accurate, detailed, God-inspired prophecies of His Son, the Christ, the Savior, through His hand-picked prophets of the Old Testament. And then He gave us multiple eyewitness accounts of the Gospels using men who were not only inspired by Him, but were also eyewitnesses of Jesus, who lived when Jesus lived, who could have spoken with people and confirmed their reports or had their reports denied. Think about that. They could have had those reports contradicted. They were not true. They were right there in the same time as Jesus. They could have also had their reports confirmed by other eyewitnesses of Jesus, which is what you find in the New Testament. Because we have the incredible, absolutely trustworthy eyewitness accounts of inspired men like Peter and the rest of the inspired writers of God's Word, one more group of eyewitnesses is produced. And that's us. Unexpected, right? That's right, you and I are witnesses. Now, we have not seen with our physical eyes the brilliant glory or the sights and sounds of the transfiguration with our own physical eyes or physical ears. But that really doesn't matter much, does it? We have, as Peter, an eyewitness tells us, the more certain witness of God's Word. Our eyes can be tricked. Our ears can be deceived. But God's word is absolutely trustworthy and true. It is that word that has given us eyes and ears of faith to hear and see Jesus. To see Jesus' face shine like the sun and his clothes become white as the light. God's word gives us ears of faith to hear the voice of our Heavenly Father saying, "This is my Son, whom I love, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." God's word has given us hearts of faith to pay attention to what God has told us as to a lamp shining in a dark place. Speaking of a dark place, this coming Wednesday, this Wednesday night, is Ash Wednesday. We begin our celebration of another season of Lent. I invite you to join us as we are once again made witnesses of our salvation. Today we've witnessed Jesus in his radiant glory as true God. And now beginning in Lent, we do follow him to some dark places, but very necessary places. We follow him down the road of humiliation and suffering, even to his crucifixion on the cross. There we will be witnesses of the punishment our own sins deserved. We will witness Jesus, God's own Son, forsaken by his Father, punished with the pains of hell so that you and I would never have to be. We will be witnesses again of his glory on Easter Sunday, when we will see the empty tomb and hear the angels proclaim, "He is not here, he is risen." And we'll see Jesus with his nail-pierced hands and spear-pierced side, standing alive in the midst of his disciples. It is because of Jesus' work that we are made his eyewitnesses now by faith. It is because of Jesus' work that we will be made his eyewitnesses with our own glorified eyes in heaven, where the Bible says we will see him as he is. What's that day going to be like? Well, I guess you'll just have to be there. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.